Welcome to the WFO Life Podcast. Buckle up for interviews, insights, and practical discussions, and the occasional intellectual oddity, all designed to help you master self, master craft, and accomplish any life mission.
Welcome back to the WFO Life Podcast. Dr. William Curtis here and Lieutenant Colonel Chris Story. Hey, this is we are closing in on 100 episodes with the WFO Life Podcast, and we appreciate you listening. One of the things we want to do moving forward as we get into the centennial episode is we want to start sharing this with more people. We think that the message of mastering self, mastering craft, and accomplishing any life mission is super powerful and probably something many, many people need. So how do you help us do that? We want you to share and like this program, because every time you smash that button on iTunes or Spotify or Stitcher or Podbean or Google Play, any of the places that you're listening to this type of podcast, every time you do that, and even more importantly, if you leave some type of review, like, hey, these guys are A-okay, or you should listen, or this really impacted me, this is super, super important. You know, it's taken us about a year to figure this out, that to reach more people, we have to get your help. We have to have you kind of share this with your friends and with family and people that you want to see grow individually. So I think that's, I want to throw that out there. You know, if you have found this podcast helpful, share and leave reviews. That really helps us a lot and helps us reach more people. So on that note, Chris, how are you today?
Doing great. You know, just trying to get geared up for this kind of, I guess, next, not so much season, but like you said, as we approach 100 episodes, you know, just trying to continue to reinvent our approach and, you know, providing good content for the listeners and ourselves to keep going forward.
Yeah, every once in a while I go back and listen to one of our early episodes, and it's kind of funny where we've come from a, you know, sound quality, where we come from editing, and also content. I always thought the content was quality, but it's nice to, over time, you know, kind of sharpen our presentation. And, you know, we've done some challenging topics, and we've grown and interviewed a lot of cool people that have a lot to share. And I'm actually looking forward to upping our game coming into the next few months and episodes. So this week, though, we had a topic that sort of works on the idea of maximizing personal or self-confidence. And before we get started, I want to, you know, thank the muse for this episode, which was an author named Anthony Moore. He had a great piece in Medium.com that talks about, you know, how to activate extreme self-confidence and destroy chronic anxiety and fear. Now, Chris, you found this, you know, excellent piece, and we're going to kind of splice and dice it and talk about it. So tell us how it impacted you.
Well, I think that some of it has to do with, you know, my job, and also with me being a dad to three kids at very formative points in their life. I have a 13-year-old, an 11-year-old, and a 9-year-old. And so I think topics like this, in the leadership position that I have at work and the leadership position I have being a dad to these kids, topics like this I become more and more interested in, because I think that, I realize that being self-confident is like a lifelong endeavor. You know, there's times that I know I've been in all kinds of situations, leadership at multiple levels, and, you know, being a dad, and I realize that it's something you always have to work on, because, you know, sometimes, and I like how this connects it to anxiety and fear, because, you know, we can all think back to times where we were very well prepared, even it might have been a stressful situation or, you know, high impact, but we crushed it. And, you know, why was that? And then you can think of a situation where it was the opposite. And so I think both for me as a leader in the military and a leader in the family, you know, connecting these things and, you know, just recognizing like, hey, you know, a lot of the anxiety and fear is because you're not going into a situation from, I guess, a position of strength. You know, you're like not confident, and you haven't, right, you know, built up. And it's not automatic. And I think that this article really touched me on how self-confidence is an acquired skill, you know, that we all have to work on and develop. And I know as a dad, It's been important to me with kids at that age. So,
it's great. Yeah, it is. And confidence is not something that's static. It's something that waxes and wanes. I can share personally, I have given talks, like health topics or presentations, in front of hundreds of people. Like, and no sweat, no problem at all. Yeah. And then I've been in a small group setting in a completely random, you know, some random meeting, and feel like my chest is pounding and I'm going to have a panic attack. It's the weirdest thing. It's like confidence, sure. You know, it probably has a lot to do with our physical state, how prepared we are for any given situation. But even people, you know, you think, gosh, you gave a talk in front of hundreds of people. Yes. And I had no problems doing it at all. And at the same time, I can be in some other random setting and feel not as confident, or even kind of like you're gonna not, you want to fly out of the room kind of thing. Yeah. And so it's kind of interesting how confidence is not a given. It's not, you know, I think it's definitely something that has to be, you know, you can definitely do things to boost confidence and do things to improve it. And that's why I really appreciate this article from Anthony Moore.
Yeah, I mean, I think today just the structure of it is going to be, you know, helpful for us to unpack and helpful for the listeners. But what I'm going to do is go through, you know, his four or five main points, you know, pull out some quotes. But then, you know, I think between your experience as a doctor and mine in the military, we can just explain how each one of these points talks to us. And I think starting from the top, you know, he mentions a motivational speaker, David Schwartz, wrote, you know, all confidence is acquired and developed. No one is born with confidence. Those people, you know, who radiate confidence, who have conquered worry, have acquired their confidence, every bit of it. And so I think for me, that's important, because I think sometimes we, from the outside looking in, see certain people that are good speakers or always seem like they have it figured out. We think them as being natural at that. But when in actuality, they may have some characteristics that make it easier, but everybody who comes across like this has constantly worked on it. And I think that, you know, like many other things we've talked about, that should give us a sense of strength, not a sense of, oh crap, I can never be that person, because that's not true, you know, so.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's again, like I was saying earlier, it's not a given. And I think we all have to learn confidence based on our ability and our experience. And, you know, I watch soccer players and athletes a lot as a coach, and you can see a player learning a new skill and they look kind of, you know, they can look uncertain of themselves. They can, you know, they go really slow with, say they're trying to learn a new, you know, a new feint or a new, you know, trick to get around a player. When they're first learning it, it looks slow and clumsy. And when you watch them try to use that in a game, it's got to be this perfect situation where they're going to use that move, where they have no pressure on them whatsoever. And then sometimes you can watch, after they've mastered that maneuver, you can see them throw it in the most amazing way in a game, and they just give this, you know, crazy feint and leave somebody standing in their, you know, drop their jock strap kind of thing when you just go past them. And it's really amazing to see them do that with great confidence, but they didn't have that to begin with. And that's a great point that we don't just start there.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess, you know, get into the meat of this, the first thing he mentions as a key point is trading your mediocre behaviors for those of successful people. And, you know, kind of the related quote with the article, it says, the key to becoming world-class in your endeavors is to build your performance around world-class routines. And we've obviously unpacked this a lot, but I like that he really talks about almost having, you know, an idea or a mentor, whether it's somebody who's actually can mentor you, or through reading and researching and seeing how other people do it. So trading, you know, kind of your okay behaviors for those who are successful. So I think, you know, for me, that's another, just not easy, but a simple concept to say, hey, I know this person, either it's somebody in my life or somebody that I've researched, does X, and I definitely don't do that. So that's the trade-off, right? It's that if I want to go from where I'm at to where I want to be, you know, here's specific behaviors or trade-offs that you can do. And I know we've talked about it on the podcast and in my life. It's, you know, I hate it when I hear somebody give like great platitudes, you know, if you will, where it says, you know, this is, you know, this state of enlightenment, but it's like, okay, well, tell me how to get there. That sounds great, but what are the building blocks? What are the stair steps to get? And we talked about it a little bit in our goal setting episode, but I like how he just says, hey, trade your, you know, half-assed behaviors for those, for people that are successful. So I thought that was good.
Yeah, mimicking successful people is huge. And I'm going to be real honest, this podcast that we've been doing for over 90 episodes, to me, is about learning successful behaviors from others and exploring and trying to add those to my functional day-to-day life. I mean, we have interviewed some amazing people, very high performers in sport, in the military, and in business, and others. And it's amazing how you can listen to someone or watch their behavior and realize, you know, not, you don't have to envy them, and you don't have to look like there's something wrong with you or negative in yourself. You're looking to learn. And you're looking to, you know, try to mimic things that have worked for other people. And not everybody has things squared away. I know a lot of the people we interviewed, you know, they have holes in their game. They have issues that they're dealing with, because we all do. And I think the idea of identifying people that are have, you know, something dialed in, maybe it's in this instance confidence, self-confidence, maybe by watching people and picking up some of their activities, that's a great first step. Is first just learn from other people, observe other people, see what they do right, and try to mimic that.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned something earlier about, you know, giving speeches that you know, arguably in a higher, you know, pressure situation, and it was like nothing. It was like you're talking to one person, and then there's another situation where you're talking to five people, and you get the sweaty palms, heart palpitations. And I think it's important to have those experiences and unpack, okay, why was I better in the situation that was arguably higher stress than the other one? And I know for me, it's usually I can, you know, trace it back. Like you said, something that could be physical. You know, I didn't get enough sleep. You know, I had been out of my exercise routines. I had been, you know, eating crappy and, you know, taking too much caffeine sources, you know, to get me through. And so, you know, those are the type of habits that you have to learn from yourself. And, you know, everybody's different. But I think, like I mentioned earlier, the heartening thing we should take from this is like, hey, you know, I got to trade all these things. And most of us, I think, intuitively or through trial and error, know the things that have led us to success or failure. And so I think in this case, you know, that's a very simple step, saying, hey, I need to model my behavior off of people that are where I want to be, find out what that is, and then trade my, you know, bad habits into those good habits. So I think that's simple enough.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, just moving on. And I like how these kind of build on top of each other. So the next one, it says, act while you feel fear. And the quote that goes with it, it says, act while you feel fear rather than waiting until you feel unafraid. And so, you know, just like we talked about in the first one, you know, trading habits, there's a lot of things that people do to make themselves successful, they were like, oh, you know, I can never do that. Or, right, you know, that's not like me to be able to put myself out there, you know, to get experience in, you know, stressful situations. And so I like how this is talking about, you know, people, and it mentions salespeople and accomplished athletes that talk about, hey, you know, sometimes in their best performances, they felt anxiety. You know, they felt they dread, you know, asking for business, you know, if they're in sales. Or, you know, it gives an example of a world-class athlete, even after, you know, being in, you know, the NBA for over a decade, throwing up before big games due to nerves and anxiety. So I think that, you know, it's powerful to think about, you know, people that are the best of the best are always outside of their comfort zone, you know, acting and performing in the face of fear, not in spite of it, right? So, So yeah, I mean, I thought that was great. You know, the world's top performers are always acting while they're afraid, and I think that sometimes is a barrier for people not wanting to, you know, get outside their ski or, you know, over their skis too much.
Absolutely. And when I read that, you said pressure, and when I read that, I thought exactly, facing pressure, pushing against resistance, that's the way we trigger growth and self-control. That's true in weightlifting. It's true speaking in public. It's true with, you know, any kind of social pressures, meeting girls or meeting guys, any kind of thing that might be anxiety provoking, or maybe you don't feel as confident doing. Whenever you put yourself in a stressful situation, let's say you're lifting a weight, how are you going to get stronger? You're going to have to lift heavier and progressively heavier weights to get stronger. That's the nature of how our body is physically made. Well, the same thing goes for our mental, emotional, and spiritual health, for that matter, and confidence. The more difficult things and things we overcome when we have fear, the more likely we're going to be a little more resistant, a little bit stronger, and a little bit more capable of moving forward in the face of some kind of adversity like that. So act while you feel fear is a good rule to live by, because the fear usually is momentary. You know, when we were talking about, I shared my example of, you know, giving a talk in front of people or whatever. A lot of times that, you know, I've done a lot of public speaking, and a lot of times the first minute or so, I feel a little bit of nerves, a little bit of like kind of butterflies or a little excited. I now view it as excitement, but early on it was probably more nerves. And what I notice is that as I get into my, you know, that fear, that anxious, that lack of confidence, like maybe they're going to judge me or things like that, that melts away inside of about a minute. And so it's a passing emotion. It's just an emotion. Fear is an emotion that you can decide to act, in spite of. So I like that, act while you feel fear.
Yeah, and I think one of the things, this is still early in the article, but I loved it that he gave, short and, short examples that people could relate to. Like he talks about asking a girl out that he was always thought was cute in middle school, and you know, even though, and then she ended up like, you know, deciding to be his girlfriend, whatever that means when you're in seventh and eighth grade, and you know, it didn't necessarily pan out the whole way, but he got experience like going up to a girl, asking her out, and having a positive experience. But you know, even if you have a negative experience, you know, you eventually build up that scar tissue in a good way so that it doesn't bother you as much next time. You know, and so he talks about, you know, if you're scared, the easiest way to gain confidence is just keep doing it. And this applies into publishing, writings. I know that's something that I aspire to do, and I need to start on a small scale, probably writing for, you know, sources like this Medium, where, you know, they take writers from a lot of different areas, and you know, and then obviously if your work gets liked a lot and shared, then they'll probably invite you to write more, and then eventually you can, you know, author a book and get experience doing it. So I know for me, this was a good kind of poke in the butt to say, hey, this is a perfect example of how, you know, doing things outside of your comfort zone is the only way that you're going to, you know, get to where you want to be. So I really liked it. It was actionable stuff.
Yeah, you know, before we move on to the next one, one thing that popped in my head from one of our previous interviews, Bob Jones mentioned that during his time when he was a combat veteran in Vietnam, he, you know, had lots of situations where he had to confront fear, you know, very real fear of death during combat and things like that. And one of the things I always remember about what he said in that interview is that, you know, when you have bullets whizzing past your head and you can still do your job, he goes, that means you're somebody. He always felt that built him up, and that gave him confidence that in this extreme human situation of combat and, you know, explosions and bullets whizzing past your head, he was able to maintain clarity of thought and execute whatever job he had to do. And that's, he pointed out that served him his entire life in every situation. I just think that's one more practical example from one of the folks that we interviewed in the past about how, you know, acting while you still have fear can build strength and, of course, confidence.
Yeah, that's a powerful metaphor in a lot of parts of life. You know, if you can take the heat, whether it be, you know, obviously extreme situation in combat, but the same thing comes, you know, like having a public debate with somebody and not getting mad, but, you know, staying focused on your points and, you know, having a good performance. So I think that, you know, the combat metaphor is extreme, but there's many things that we can, you know, draw power from once we survive them. But you can't get there if you don't, you know, operate at the edge of your comfort zone. So I think a lot of good lessons there about, you know, don't let fear keep you from acting. So that was a great one. The next one is seek problems, don't avoid them. And it gives a quote by Grant Cardone, who's like a, you know, an author for some good self-help motivational topics. But he says one of the major differences between successful and unsuccessful people is that successful people look for problems to resolve, whereas the latter make every attempt to avoid them. And I remember back to my days running a business for a few years after college, and you know, nobody or everybody wanted to get promoted, but there was an apprehension sometimes if you were, you know, promoted into a situation where you know, you were moved into an area that was historically problematic. And, you know, it was up to you to, you know, go in there and fix it. And that's sometimes how promotions came about. And the more I got experience and saw successful people doing that, I was like, hey, you know, even though you might go into a challenging situation, if you go in there and solve a few problems, if you're at the bottom, you're probably going to show progress. And so, I mean, it is a risk going into area. It's one thing going, you know, onto a team that's already successful, or you go into, you know, a part of the business that's always, you know, been profitable, and it's just, you know, up to you to, you know, maintain the status quo. But I think that, like, this is saying, if you actually seek out, you know, problems to solve them, it's empowering. And it builds your self-confidence and shows that you're not avoiding the problems. And so, similar to what Bob said in combat, it's like, hey, if you can go into this chaos or saying, no, I want to be a problem solver, it really, you know, exponentially builds your self-confidence. So I thought this was a cool concept as well.
Yeah, seeking problems and becoming a problem solver is a trait I've seen in many successful people. And, you know, we've all read, you know, these articles where they talk about, you know, a failure. I mean, if you're seeking problems, I guess the argument is, well, if I'm seeking problems, I might not have success. I might, what if I can't solve the problem? Well, then you fail, right? Yeah. But learning that, you know, a lot of times you can rephrase failure. There is really no failure, I guess, until you die, right?
Yeah.
But failure equals a learning opportunity. And that's how a lot of elite business individuals, when they have a failed business, they don't look at that as like, I'm a loser and I, you know, I'm worthless, and they don't get negative like that. They think about it as, oh, what did I learn from that? And often they'll look at it as, you know, a failure equals greater knowledge. Now I have a greater knowledge of what not to do. I mean, when we first started this podcast, man, you know, I'm doing all kinds of weird stuff with my mic, and I'm, you know, I got a cat meowing in the background and road noise and all kinds of stuff. I think our first episodes were recorded while I was driving down the road. There's all kinds of things that it's like, they weren't really a failure. It's just a knowledge. It's like, well, I learned what to do and what not to do. And, you know, and failure equals experience. And the more experience you have, and you know, maybe it was Benjamin Franklin. I'm probably going to misquote this, but, you know, no, it was the Alexander Graham Bell. And when they talk about, you know, the incandescent light bulb, it's like, well, you tried 2,000 other different types. And he goes, what, don't you think that's a failure? He says, no, 2,000 ways not to make an incandescent light bulb. I've yeah. learned 2,000 ways not to do it, you know, and that's why I think being a problem solver, there's no problem in throwing yourself in there and applying your skills, your knowledge, your willingness to tackle a problem, makes you more confident. I mean, if you realize there really is no true failure, then why not?
Yeah, I mean, a good sports analogy, like I've tried to learn myself and teach my kids, it's like you either win or you learn. You know, if you won, then obviously everything you did worked. If you didn't, you're like, okay, what can I do better next time? And I see this one not only as a confidence builder and, you know, a way to deal better with anxiety over time. I mean, this is a huge, like, reputation builder. You know, this is internal and external. You know, where I think once you prove yourself as a problem solver and somebody that's not shying away from it, I mean, externally, people see you as a go-to person, right? I mean, if you're willing to take on the most difficult projects or take on something where others have failed, you know, even if you fail nobly, you know, to trying to do it, they're like, hey, that person is brave enough to take on something, even though they didn't work out perfect. I mean, the way they handled it and the way they're willing to, you know, work with the team to make it happen is like I said, a big internal confidence booster. And externally, I think it just builds your reputation as somebody that others can go to for help, you know.
So absolutely.
So next, this one's interesting because it's more, I think, conceptual, but it's just an observation that he gives. It's like, most people aren't self-confident, so don't do what most people do. You know, and he has another good quote to intro this section. It says, "When they zig, you should zag, and you'll win every time," by Ramit Sethi, New York Times bestselling author and entrepreneur. So a lot of times, you know, that's another comfort zone thing. We look at what other people do, and even if they're only marginally successful, you're like, okay, maybe I'll do it like that. And this is saying, hey, even though people try to come across a certain way, most people don't have this self-confidence inside them. So you have to really do things a little bit different if you want to build this confidence and almost anti-anxiety formula for yourself, because unfortunately most people are actually insecure, you know, and they're always worried about, and you know, and the Stoics address this a lot, you know, worrying about what others think, or you know, trying to please everybody and seem like you got everything together, when in actuality, if you can admit when you screw something up, because a lot, you know, inherently most people know when something you're responsible for gets screwed up. So any attempt to gloss over it or make excuses or try to make it seem, you know, not as bad as it is, it, you know, makes people, you're like the emperor with no clothes on. You know, people see through your BS when, you know, they, even though it's more uncomfortable for you, I know when I see it in other people, I admire it when they just, even if it's a senior person or somebody that usually has their stuff together, they're like, oh yeah, that was a bad decision. You know, I own up to that, and this is what we're going to do to fix it. So it goes back to the problem solving thing. You know, you're not just trying to hide things, you're trying to mask it. You know, you're just saying, hey, you know, I'm not going to do what most people do. And, you know, like the section talks about, it's, I'm going to own up to it and try to make it better. So, you know, this one's a cool just observation about, you know, most people are just trying to not look stupid, but in the end they're looking more stupid than if they would have just owned up to it and tried to make it better. So,
yeah. And the part I got out of that was that that's exactly right. Most people are not confident, and most people are not interested in what you're doing, by the way. And they're interested in their own experience. I've seems like a lot of the anxiousness and psychosocial problems that I treat in my clinic often are the problems are based in someone excessively worrying about what someone else thinks or how someone else might view them, rather than, you know, a person moving forward, trying to improve themselves. And maybe in their past they had things that, you know, bad decisions they made, or maybe they, you know, they've had a lot of challenges in their life, and they've come from a very, you know, negative place, and they're trying to move forward. And they have people that maybe are throwing negativity at them and things like that. Those happen, and you can't, again, you can't stop what someone else is going to say or do about you. But one thing you can realize is that most of the time when you're putting yourself out there and you're putting yourself into situations, challenging situations, maybe situations you might fail, most people are more concerned about what's going on with themselves. They're not worried about you. And a lot of times the negativity that comes from other people is because they feel bad about themselves and they're trying to bring you down. It's kind of like the crabs in a pot, right? Or, you know, there's all, you know, one tries to climb out, the other ones will pull it back in or whatever. And and that's the thing, you know, don't do what other people do, because most people, the herd rarely is correct, you know, and people who are out, you know, leading the way are the ones that get ahead in the world. And then everyone will eventually, even if they feel like they look foolish at the beginning, who cares what they think? who cares? Because they're all wrapped up in their own issues and their own insecurities. And the reality is that has nothing to do with you. You're on your own path. You're growing. You're building your own confidence. Let's worry less about what other people think, and let's act and behave in a way that builds our own confidence.
Yeah, and I think maybe just to close this up, we can see it in the world that's around us. You know, people striving for experiences that, in some cases, physical. You know, like there's been this rise of like Tough Mudders and Spartan races, and you know, people wanting to have, cookie cutter tough experiences. And a lot of that is because our world has become so comfortable. And we want to seem like we've got everything figured out in social media. And we, as humans, we actually need to problem solve. We need to overcome things, in some cases physically, to have that sense of well-being. Because when things come too easy all the time, when the inevitable adversity does come, that's when the anxiety and the fear, you know, grips us. But I think people that look for, you know, physical or, you know, mental challenges are the ones that eventually get ahead and overcome this, because they realize that most people are insecure. You know, most people are living these like superficial, you know, artificial lives. But really, you know, you want to be the people that, you know, internally, you know, your mind and body and soul is together. And, you know, like the author talks about in here, you know, quiet self-confidence and pride in yourself that, you know, comes across as true confidence, and you're able to deal with that anxiety and fear, you know, way better than the majority of people that, you know, are trying to just come across well, when in actuality they're anything but well.
Right.
So moving on, another cool concept in here, you know, what doesn't add to your healing subtracts from it. And the quote, it says, if your lifestyle does not add to your healing, it will subtract from it. Is, you know, I guess tying into it by Benjamin Foley said that. So, you know, and a lot of this is, you know, looking at the habits we have and the things we do is almost like a zero-sum game, you know, like a balance sheet of your life. It's like, hey, is this thing that I'm spending my time on, you know, adding to who I want to be, or is it taken away from it? And if we take a hard look at ourselves and the things we do and spend time on, we get the answer quickly, right? I mean, if you're, obviously it's good sometimes as a stress reliever to sit down and zone out on a TV show, but it's not good to sit and watch six of them, you know, right. when you should have been, you know, reading, preparing for the week, you know, exercising. And so I think, you know, that's an example of, you know, the distractions we have. So, you know, we're filling our time full of good things or bad things. And I think if we, I know it's helpful for me when I put it almost on a balance sheet, is like, you know, me doing this going to help me, you know, like we say, is our mantra of the podcast, you know, is this helping me to master myself? Is this helping me to master my craft and get better at skills, either in my personal or professional life? You know, am I working towards my mission? You know, and it's pretty easy to do that. Plus, you know, it's like one of my best bosses said, I like to, you know, have every day as a one and a zero. You know, did I win? Did I put 1 point in the column, or did I lose today? And I was like, yeah, that's a great, it's like a computer. It's a binary way to look at it, you know. And if you break it down into individual activities, you can really do that. I mean, it's kind of hard sometimes to put it on a day, but I mean, he was like that. He had it in the back of his planner. He's like, you know, it was a plus or a minus. And, you know, you look back on your week, and if you have more pluses than minuses, then you're moving the ball forward. If not, you need to, you know, take a look at what you're doing. So I like this, you know, concept of like, hey, are you getting better or are you getting worse, you know?
Yeah, another way to put all of that is simply surround yourself with the positive. You know, always be looking to put positivity in your life, and honestly avoid negativity or negative situations or negative people. You know, I think that's another thing that it kind of ties into the same point.
Yeah, I mean, and that's a big part of it is, you know, we all have, you know, so there's some family members we might not be able to get away from, you know, when it's friends or coworkers, you know, and sometimes it's even people I know I've gotten benefit from that I don't even really like, but they're really good at certain things, and I try to, you know, spend time with them, or, you know, go out of my way to speak with them, because I'm like, hey, And usually people like that, they might not be the most personable, but if you know it's something that they like and they're good at, you know, they'll open up. You know, it's like, hey, I really like the way you did this. You know, can you show me? Can we go have lunch and we can chat about it? And it's amazing sometimes people, when it's their thing, they'll really light up and open up about it, you know. So
yeah, and again, positivity is a trait of confidence. And so, you know, if you're trying to build your own self-confidence, if you're around negativity constantly, negative themes, and they can't do this, no, or, you know, negative vibes on or feedback on everything you do, that definitely will crush confidence, especially when everyone starts with very little and has to build it over time. So I think that's a great point to simply surround yourself with positivity and constantly strive to improve yourself a bit every day.
Yeah, and I guess the last point that's made on this is cool, and it talks about simplifying, or, you know, having more of a minimalist, you know, mentality. You know, there's an example in here about, you know, not buying too many things or being reliant on too many things, that, you know, in some cases we try to make our lives easier, but then, you know, we blow money on gadgets and, you know, things that we think are going to fix it, when in actuality, you know, simplifying everything in our lives, you know, allows us to focus on the more important things, you know. So I thought that was a cool way to end it. You know, try to have more of a minimalist mentality than always trying to add, you know, complexity in some cases that we think is going to fix us. You know, and kind of that's the main points. But in conclusion, I think it's cool to just reflect on all these and realize that, you know, kind of like we talked about throughout, even though we're surrounded by people who want everyone to think that they're confident, they have everything figured out, and they don't have anxiety, when in actuality, you know, more people around us are filled with, you know, self-doubt and anxiety, and they try to mask it. And so I think as long as we can, you know, recognize what we're anxious about and why we're not confident, you know, it gets us, you know, at least a bridge to where we want to be, saying, hey, I'm not going to, and some of it's like a mindset. I know for me, when I've been in situations where I've had anxiety, I try to, you know, put myself back in that place and say, hey, if this happens again, I'm just going to refuse to, you know, let myself feel like that again. And I'm going to try to do the things I know that I could have done better the last time, you know, to make sure that doesn't happen. So some of it's just, you know, a mindset going into things, like being positive, you know, being more prepared. And I think this, you know, outlined a few things we can all do to try to set ourselves on the path of being more confident and not having anxiety fill our lives and keep us from where we want to be. So,
yeah, absolutely. And Chris, thanks for finding this piece. And I want to also thank Anthony Moore for putting together this article and, you know, served as our muse for this episode. Check Anthony Moore out at medium.com. And I think you'll find he's got some other great articles there. So as we wrap up, you know, as we started the show, we mentioned, you know, we're closing in on 100 plus episodes. We're getting really close here. And many of them like this, where we try to pull out and tease out details of, you know, powerful tools, techniques, and strategies for mastering self, mastering craft, and accomplishing any life mission. So one of the things I wanted to share is that in the coming weeks, as we get closer to the 100th episode, you know, whether you enjoy interviews on nutrition or some of our health topics, or maybe you're into like Stoic philosophy, growing your mental, emotional, or social resilience, we've kind of covered a lot of those in great detail over the last 90 plus episodes. So what we're going to be doing in the coming weeks, and I look forward to pulling this together, is we're going to look to add more value for our listeners by sorting and providing pathways to individual areas or fields that we've covered, because we have a pretty broad set of people we've interviewed. We have a really broad set of topics we've covered, but there are some general themes. And so we're going to be looking to pull that together. So look for that in the coming weeks, and I hope that makes our website more useful. So as we, you know, close, I want to remind you, check with us on the WFO Life Podcast Tribe. That's within the Future Focus Health Network. We always leave a show link, and you can click over there. That's a best way to interact with Chris and I and give us ideas, feedback, or, you know, maybe topic ideas. We'd love to hear from you. Chris, that's all I got. We're all done. You have a great afternoon.
You too. Thanks.